WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
Hi, alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. The Bliss of Marriage, Part 1. Every Tuesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved senior, respected, honorable, Fadilatul Ustad, Hadrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. It's a beautiful morning, Yom Thulatha, Tuesday morning, which is today the 17th of November 2020, which is also the first of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1442. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface, and let's welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Company, and let's welcome our beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. That's 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome Ustad into the program, inshallah. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat, jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, since today is the first of Rabi'ul Akhir, a listener wants to know, inshallah, what dua must we read on the first of the Islamic month, Ustad?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah Jalla wala informs us in the noble Quran, In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you love Almighty Allah Jalla wala, fattabi'uni, then follow me, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, immaculately. Yuhbibkum Allah, then Almighty Allah will make you his beloved. We become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and your sins will be forgiven. Chapter 3, verse number 31 of the Noble Quran. So whenever an Islamic month starts and commences, so at the beginning of the month, there are three different du'as that are mentioned in three different books and of ahadith, three different compilations. Let us start with the easy one first. Allahu Akbar. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. So Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin, these words are mentioned in Abu Dawood. Hilal, if you know the Arabic language, refers to the first three nights. There's the moon, there's the chan, Nazaragya. So that first three nights we raise our voices. So today, mashallah, is the first of Rabi'ul Akhir 1442. So read with me, Allahu Akbar. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Oh Almighty Allah Jalla wala, make this month of Rabi'ul Akhir a month of khayr and goodness, wa rushdin and righteousness for me, my family, the ummah and muslimah, everybody. Alhamdulillah, beautiful dua, simple dua. Hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. Second dua, how important it is. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif and in South Africa, we know the crime, the corruption, the hijacking, kidnapping, all goes on a daily basis. So see, at the beginning of the Islamic lunar month, what we should be reading, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil amni wal iman wa salamati wal islam wa tawfiq. Ya Allah, let this new moon and crescent loom upon us bil amni wal iman wa salamati wal islam wa tawfiq. You protect and preserve our safe, our iman, our islam. You grant us safety and security. Grant grant us, Ya Allah, tawfiq, the ability, capacity, capability to do the right actions, say the right words, lima tuhibbu wa tarudha, that are beloved to you and you are pleased with it. Rabbi wa rabbuka Allah, you are my sustainer, nourisher, and you are the sustainer, nourisher, provider for the celestial creation, the moon, the sun, the stars, the Milky Way, whatever. And it's authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Third one is mentioned on the authority of Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu. He was like African, dark in complexion. And remember, is buried right next to Masjidul Aqsa. See how Allah elevated the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. He states, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read the following dua when the new month would start. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then individually we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra hadha shahr. Ya Allah, Jalla wa la, I ask you for the best of this month. Collectively, husband, wife, parents, children, teachers, students, we're reading it now collectively. So we read, Allahumma inna nas'aluka, inna nas'aluka, we beg thee, we ask of you, Ya Allah, inna nas'aluka khayra hadha shahr, the best of this month you grant us that, Ya Allah. Hadith mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. So read these three du'as, inshallah, at the beginning of the Islamic lunar month, alhamdulillah.
So Ustad, let's go to Crosby. Listener says, my wife passed on while giving birth to our daughter. Her sister breastfed my kid. Does her sister now become my kid's mother? Urgent, Ustad.
Allah Jalla Wala grant your wife Jannatul Firdaus, and she passed away a shahida. What was supposed to be a happy occasion turned out to be a sad and tragic occasion. The baby was born, but the mother passed away. Allah Jalla Wala grant her Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
So remember that your wife's sister is called Khala in Arabic, and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al Khala to be manzilatil even if she did not breastfeed your baby, so remember she will still take the place of the mother. Now she has two relationships to your daughter or your child or your son, and that is, she is the Khala, the maternal auntie, the master, as we say, and secondly, she is the murdia, she is the foster mother as well. So she is the masi, the kala, the maternal auntie, and she is the foster mother as well. Like Suwayba, Suwayba was the foster mother of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the foster mother of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu an. So Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu an is the uncle, and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a nephew. But remember that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Hamza are brothers as well. Brothers, foster brothers, because one lady, the same lady, first breastfed Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu when he was a baby. And then when Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Milad Mubarak took place, the auspicious birth of the Master alayhi wa sallam took place, then again Suwayba breastfed him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how uncle and nephew, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But another relationship, foster brothers. So yeah, remember, your wife was deceased, her sister was and is the auntie of your baby, your son, your daughter, and she breastfed, so now she becomes the foster mother as well.
Somebody says, Yo Ustad, that I bought my wife an expensive machine. She threw it out and lent my neighbors the machine to bake a cake, Ustad. I'm bleeding inside, Mufti Saab. Is this a good reason for divorce, Anonymous?
No, it's not a valid reason for divorce. Jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. You bought a canned wood, you bought this machine, that machine, with a good intention, and it's very good, I always say, husband, wife, and especially for the husband, don't give your mahar once only. When you got married to your wife, the marital gift, every week, every month, every 2 months, give a gift in cash or kind to your wife. Why? Tahaddaw tahabbu. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith in Bayhaqi, meaning give gifts to one another. That will generate mutual love. And remember, when there's husband wife, then always there will be some argument, some dispute with human beings. So the benefit of giving the gift, فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدُّغَائِنَ, that the gift will remove the malice, the rancor, the hatred, the misunderstanding. So you gave the gift to your wife, you will be rewarded. Now your wife, now she's a little bit nadan, she's a little bit simple Simon. So she said, okay, let me give it on loan to my neighbor. They want to make bhajiyas, they want to make samosas, they want to go cake, make a cake or whatever, and so forth and so on. So remember, she must demand it back, and it will come back to your wife. So she is still in the possession. Then both of you should discuss it as adults and tell your wife you're not happy that she gives it even on loan to ABC, XYZ, and so forth and so on, that you gave it to her, that she must use it in the house. But if you gave it to her as a gift, then and she's the owner, then you can't make any conditions as well. If you gave it to her, you are the owner, but she is going to use it, then you tell her that she must use it in the house, not give here and there. So it just depends what was the agreement and what was your intention when you gave it to her.
Somebody says here that, Ustad, my wife is a very, very clean. It says clean, sanitic. Everything must be spotless at all times and in its place, Ustad. I earn our livelihood from home, and when I am working on something on our table and go out for a few minutes and return, it's all packed up and put away. This is really frustrating me, Mufti Saab. My home is not a museum. Anonymous, Ustad.
Yes, you must remember what your wife is doing is very good. The hadith is in Mishkat Sharif, in Tirmidhi, and where Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah Ta'ala Jamilun Yuhibbul Jamal. Verily Allah Ta'ala is very beautiful and loves beauty. So your wife loves the beauty. Everything must be tip-top condition, spotless. Inna Allah, next part of the hadith, Inna Allah Ta'ala Nazifun Yuhibbun Nazafa. Verily, Almighty Allah is very, very clean, and Almighty Allah loves cleanliness. So what you must do is this. What you must do is this, that you have your room. Let's call that room your working room. Or let's call that room the room of your study or whatever. So you must have 2-3 signs there. That do not disturb, and put that do not remove. So she must know that whilst you are working, you went for salat, or you went to answer a telephone, or you went outside, took a walk and what have you, and came back a breather. So she must not touch anything. So simple, you can resolve it. You must remember that. But her tabiat, her nature, her fitra is such, she doesn't like, you understand, things to be untidy, not kept in the place. So that's a good quality. But by the same time, by the same token, she must not go beyond the limits and make hulu. Ghulu means to go to another extreme, and that is whilst you are working, you went out after half an hour, you came back, everything is taken away. So that also is short-sightedness on her part. So both of you must just solve this matter out, put big boards there, don't disturb, do not remove, then she must know you're still busy with that project of yours. So in that way there, I know that sometimes I leave a kitab there on my desk, and this, when I come back, that kitab is gone. So I asked my wife, where's my kitab? So you say, no, I packed it away. So I said, leave my kitabs here, I'll pack it away. So it's simple, you must remember that the woman, they like the house, and you must not make too much chucha. You know chucha? Don't poke your nose too much in their business. They are the queen of the houses. She must put whatever she wants to. She wants to put the vase here, put the frame here, put the sofa. Just say, darling, honey, sweetheart, it's your house, you do how you like. Yeah, me, I keep quiet. But this portion here is mine. So you don't come in fiddle here. So that is how you resolve the problem, inshallah.
I like that, Ustad. I like it. I see the listener says, my husband ran away, dear Mufti Saab, after he got his papers. He is from India. I need urgent help. How do I remarry when he didn't give me a divorce? Now my parents are upset with me. They don't want to get involved. Ustad, what do I do? Anonymous.
I don't know what are the real circumstances. Who show her bhagya, India chala gaya. So he is on there to India. So he used you as a spay wheel, and now he got his papers, South African documents, and he's gone. So the only option for you, now here we need to pause. Your parents are upset with you. Why? Did they give permission? Were they happy when you got married to that Indian person from India? We are also Indians, but we are born in South Africa. Our parents are born in South Africa, so alhamdulillah. So they came here, right? And mm-hmm. then he found you, and he could speak Urdu, and maybe he could sing one, two nice songs for you. So you said, yeah, I tabo aruche, you see? So ye tabo acha hai. So you got married to him, but your parents maybe were not happy. Or maybe didn't even give consent. Therefore, they told you, now you made all this upside down, so you must get involved. You must do it out. We were not getting involved. So I don't know, but that is what it seems like. So now let's go forward. What we're going to do? So you go to your local ulama, go to the jamiyat or whoever you have, you know, confidence in, and you apply for a fasakh. Fasakh means annulment of marriage, which means that they will try and contact him, and there will be some way of contacting him. I hope you don't have children. Hmm. If you have children, then what will happen? That the maintenance and all that. So all this will be valid grounds for a fasakh. He ran away and is not maintaining you, sustaining you. And if you have children, and is not maintaining them. So on those grounds alone, you can apply for fasakh, annulment of marriage. So go and you must try and make contact with him. And in that way, once fasakh is given, then you will sit in the iddat for 3 months, for 3 menses, and thereafter you want to remarry. And now when you get married, so make sure that you get the blessings and consent from your parents.
And you start, well, right, the listener says, Jim moved this up. Yes, they were not happy with me, but I thought I am a big girl, and I thought I was doing the right decision. Can I expose him, Ustad?
You must expose him, but you must take the blame as well. You thought you were a big girl, but a big girl that was nadan and very naive and a simple Simon, simple Mary. Not for men we say simple Simon, and for women we will say simple Mary, simpleton. So you thought that the India Waras are very good. Some of them are good, some of them not so good. So remember that you once bitten, twice shy. La yuldahul mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marratain. So remember, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you should not get stung from the same place twice. So don't make a mistake for the future. So the sequence of events will be, you expose him, that's fine. Second one, you go and remember that you go for a fasakh, and that will be annulment. Once that is granted, then remember iddat. After iddat, you get proposal, then you get married with the consent of your parents, and they are pleased. So that is the sequence of events that should follow.
So Ustad, can I read my salah before time? Because when my husband comes from work, he says my time belongs to him alone. He is a very cheeky man who don't take no for an answer. May fair west to start.
Remember that he must also perform salat. So whether he's cheeky or whether he's not cheeky, you must tell him he's a Muslim, he must read salat. So if you mean that you read salat before time, meaning that if the time for that salat has entered, let's say for example the time for salat has entered 8 o'clock, and the salat jamaat 8:15 azan goes, 8:30 is jamaat, and so forth. So remember, but 8 o'clock you are sure that isha time enters, then you read it, is fine. So you must be sure that the time for that particular salat has entered. But if you want to read isha salat 7 o'clock, 7:15, 7:30, but the time has not entered, so that is haram and not valid, and you can't use that as an excuse, no, your husband is cheeky and so forth. So remember, any salat you read, the time for that particular salat must enter. That is a prerequisite and condition.
My husband refuses to work, Mufti Saab. We have bills. on end, and the cops are looking for him. I can't keep hiding from them, as he's owing lots of people money, Mufti Saab. Can I go out to work and support him? I really need help, Ustad. Anonymous.
Why you want to go work and go help him and all that? He will just sit on his laurels and will say, this is very good. Let me make more accounts and my wife will pay it. So that's not permissible. What you need to do is get him, kick him out of the house, tell the police he's here, and they must lock him up. And remember that you, if you don't have jewelry, you don't have anything, then tell the Muslims to give you zakat. They got millions of rands to give zakat. So that is what you must do. You must not cover up for your husband when he's a criminal. So he's a criminal now. You must remember that, making what accounts here, accounts here, accounts here, and you concealing and hiding. Wala ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan. Surah 5, verse number 2. That do not cooperate in sin and transgression. Now, immediately phone the police, say yes, he's here, come pick him up, take him away. And tell him if he raises his hands on you, you will charge him for assault and for real, then they'll put him straight into trunk and into jail and prison.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. I see another listener says, very good, the Jawab Ustad. Ustad, this question came in the morning, of course, on our program this morning, Talk Your Heart Out. And the brother says that my name is Ibrahim and I broke my son-in-law's jaws, Mufti Saab. I was in jail for 6 months. He kicked my child in her stomach. She lost the baby and still has the nerve to say, that's my wife. I can do what I want. And today, dear Mufti Saab, my child can't fall pregnant for life. Wake up, you idiots. I'm ready to die for my child. Brother Ibrahim Ustad.
All parties are wrong there. You must remember that there was a marriage, and now that marriage was turning sour and violent. The daughter, your wife, was pregnant, and then there was an altercation, argument between husband and wife. Obviously, we answer the questions as the questions are posed to us. Whether they are speaking the truth or not, that Allah alone knows. Whether it is slanted or people add spice and masala, that also Almighty Allah knows. So anyway, there was altercation, argument between husband and wife. The husband kicked his wife, and remember, in the stomach and so forth, she lost the baby. And now you're saying she can't fall pregnant. So obviously what the husband did, all that is haram. But now what you went to go do, you went and you busted him up, you hit his jaw broken and gave him, you understand, a good threshing, you made pedal beating of him, and they put you in jail. So now what good was that? Now you got a criminal record for life, 6 months or whatever you spent in jail. Now where is your daughter? That's the question we have to ask. Is she still with her husband? Is there divorce and what have you? Violence like this is not going to solve the problem. Remember that. So now what is going to happen? He will say that he is going to trouble your daughter and make zulm upon her because you busted him up. So you must remember that. So now he was wrong, zalim, wrongdoer, but you became aslam, you became the bigger oppressor. So you must remember, by busting him up and breaking his jaw and what have you. So remember, all of you are wrong. So what you need to do now is this, that you must tell him, your son-in-law, you ask my daughter for forgiveness and maaf, and tell daughter to forgive him, and these are the conditions. If he again raises his hand, kicks her, swears her, abuses her, hits her, assaults her, then talaq e ba'in will take place, and irrevocable divorce will take place. So you need to reconcile between them. Second one, you need to ask him, son-in-law, for forgiveness for bashing his jaw and busting his jaw and so forth. And he must ask you forgiveness. So lot of mafi there. And remember, it won't be easy, because your people's hearts now got the malice, hatred, and the emotions are running high. So you need to calm down the situation. I'm asking you one question, you, the father-in-law. You busted your son-in-law up. You landed up in jail. But did it solve the problem? I'm asking you, did it solve the problem? No, it didn't solve the problem. Now you're still speaking like that. It's my daughter, and if he does again, I'll give him another threshing. I'm asking you, what's going to help? It's not going to help. Islam says you must look for solutions, not become part of the problem. You must become part of the solution, my brother. You are the father. You brought that daughter of yours up with so much love and everything. She's going through so much. And now there will be ups and downs between husband and wife. But what the husband did, totally haram. But I can't condone what you did by physically assaulting him, breaking his jaw. And we can't condone what he did by busting up your daughter and kicking her in the stomach. So both of you, all parties are wrong here. And your daughter is bearing the brunt here. So remember, all of you ask one another for forgiveness, and then inshallah become wiser and tell him, fine, I'm still prepared to give you a chance, but these are the conditions. My daughter will stay with you. So in that way, you will move forward, inshallah.
Ustad, he says that he requested for a talaq and he gave a talaq. So
if he gave talaq and now she's back home, so end of the story then. You must remember that. So I don't know if there's any children and that, because she had was pregnant. And
one child.
So see, there's a child. Now what you have to do is this. So this is the lesson, carefully what I'm saying. So you must now do the following. Step number one, make sure that he, your ex-son-in-law, must pay maintenance for your daughter, and that is during the iddat period, the 3 menses and so forth. But for the child, if it's a daughter, he must pay till she gets married. If it's a boy, he must pay right till he reaches the age of 15, 16 and so forth. So you must do that, that's one. Number two, make sure custody stays by your daughter. He must not get custody, not now, nor in future. On the grounds, he's a very, very violent person, and he might cause harm to the child as he caused harm to this wife of to your this daughter of yours who was his wife. So, and you got grounds for that, you got all the proof and so forth. So these are 2-3 things you should do. Remember that. One is make sure he must pay for all the expenses, maintenance. And second one, try your level best that your daughter must get custody. Yes, he is the father. You can't deprive him visitation rights and so forth, but you don't allow him to get custody. He becomes disqualified on the grounds of his violence and because of his abusive nature.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. 29 minutes to 12. Ustad, what is the ruling on celebrating birthdays? We see more and more Muslims making a big affair of birthdays, not only for the kids, but their own birthdays, and expecting expensive gifts and birthday lunches and supper. Ustad,
when this ummah suffers from the inferiority complex, so you must remember, then they themselves are dwallu wa adwallu. They themselves are astray and they lead others astray. That baji, that old man is 65, 70 years old. Kala is 75, 80 years old. She says, even I want a bash. Even I want a birthday bash. So they put 60, 70, 75 candles. They say, Kala, blow. Baji, blow. They blew and then they passed away. So you must remember that if that's not shaitan yet, then what is shaitan yet? You must remember, I'm giving you all this from Quran and Sunnah and Salaf Salih. Number one, Quran Kareem states, Surah 17, verse 27, Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. That the people who squandered their wealth, now you bought this cake, you bought this, you bought that, you invited people, we're having a birthday party, whether for the baby, whether for the child, whether for the old man, old lady. So remember, and you spend and squandered so much money, so Almighty Allah Jalla Wala gives a message to people like that, male, female, adult, everybody, innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. That remember that you, the people who squandered the money and so forth, you have become the brothers of shaitan. So imagine Almighty Allah saying, innal mubazzirin kanu ikhwana shayateen. Chapter 17, verse 27. So totally haram. Second one, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, one in Bukhari Sharif, Al-mar'u ma'man ahabba. A person will be with whom he loves. You love the Western culture. What is birthday? Birthday is self-aggrandizement. I must be the most important person. It's my birthday, so I must wear special clothes. Everybody must come shake my hand. Everybody must take the snaps and videos of me. I am the center stage. So that is all to massage our ego, to massage our desires and so forth. Islam says you have to trample on your desires, not to boost your ego and massage your ego. So all this is shaitaniyat. So you will raise up with them. You will wake up with Tom, Dick and Harry or Tom, Dick and Mary on Day of Justice. According to the hadith of Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Bukhari Sharif, Al-mar'u ma man ahabba. So next one, that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum, who imitates a people, become part and parcel of them. So do you want all these things here? Then I want to share this with you. This is Muslim. This is what Islam teaches us. The faqihu hadhil ummah, the grand mufti, the big mufti of this ummah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an. And if you want a reference, O students, O ulama, O people who know Arabic, then read the book Qimatu Zaman Indal Ulama, how the ulama-i Rabbani, the ulama-i Haqqani, the true ulama, how they appreciated their time. When the sun would go down, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the senior mufti among the sahaba, the beloved companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for sahaba we say radiallahu anhu majma'in, his face used to become somber and serious. And what would happen? Remember, he would say, while the sun is going down, naqasa fihi ajali, my lifespan on this earth is decreasing. وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ عَمَلِي, and my good deeds and righteous actions are not increasing. That is the Muslim's worry. But today the Muslim, inqilab-e zamana, how the times and zamana have changed. The people will say, hey man, I never had a bash and a birthday for past 10 years. Let me now have it at the age of 60, 70, 50 for the child at the age of 15, 16, 18, 21. All this from A to Z, totally haram, and you become the brothers and sisters of shaitan. So imagine which direction we are going. Allah Jalla Wala protect us all.
Ustad, the sister from Marlboro says, dear Mufti Sahib, where did this birthday celebration came out from? Ustad?
Remember, all these are Western customs. They make us fools. They make us idiots. See, end of November, we in November, today is the first of Rabi'ul Akhir 1442. They tell you the last Friday of November is what? Black Friday. For us Muslims, it is every Friday a Nurani Friday. A Friday that has good nur, luster, radiance, effulgence. But you will see Muslims also now advertising. Let us make money. So now, Black Friday sale. So they also, you know, that monkey see, monkey do. You know, in school we learn these things here. The one person started something, the other one just copied. I said, let me imitate. So you must remember, like sheep. What is Quran teaching us? Quran dedicated a whole surah to the Friday, to Jumu'ah, chapter 62, 11 verses there. But today the same Ummah is saying Black Friday. So how far we are gone? Why? Because the heart, the problem, the heart of the problem is the problem in the heart. You got that? The heart of the problem is the problem in the heart. The iman is getting weaker, weaker, weaker. The love of dollars, money, rand, cents, rupees, that is getting more and more and more. Did I say so? Nay, Allah says so. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanood. Beshak ye insan apne rab ke bahut hi nashukar hai. This human being is very, very ungrateful to Almighty Allah. Does he know? وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. He bears testimony. the money to eat. The more money, the more assets Allah gives, the more bold and brazen we become in committing vices. That you do like Bushiri. Bushiri say, me, I'm a man of substance. What does people know? He bribed this chap up, They is gone sitting in Malawi. Nobody in South Africa knows how he escaped. So that, now, what there? We're running a what here? A banana republic or what? So remember this. That is what happens. Muslim. I'm not saying he's a Muslim. I'm saying me and you. So the money came. We sold our deen. And the love for money became so great. The love for Allah. The love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love for deenul Islam decreased. Wa innahu lihub. And this human being is madly in love. Remember with this world. You don't see people going for collection everywhere. Half the time, most of the time they enriching themselves in the name of Islam. So all this, what a disgrace it is. Zillatul ulama indal aghniya. So disgrace of the ulama by the rich. So this is the reason Quran teaches us. Surah 100, Surah Al-Adiyat, verses 6, 7 and 8. So that is the problem. So remember, brother, sister, the West, wherever capitalism means this. When I went to America in 2000, the first time with my brother Yusuf Dokrat, and Allah grant him Jannah, Firdaus, grant his father, his son, all of them, all of them passed away on a Friday.
Ameen.
So brother Yusuf Dokrat took me, we went. I couldn't believe what I saw in New York and Washington and Chicago and all this place. They got their free air. Now we just go to any garage here and we just say Gwalisa. That we say that fill up. We say Gwalisa.
Mm-hmm.
And we say Fagalomoya and put the air. A is free, but in America, no free business. Per tire, quarter dollar. That all four tires, $1, $2 you must pay. That is capitalism. Nothing for nothing. You must pay for everything. So you must remember that to make money, that is their aim of life. How Trump becomes the president. So that's how they become the president. You must remember that. So you must remember this. If you study politics, you will understand these things here. So what has happened to the Muslim? And it's hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li kulli ummatin fitna." Every ummah had a test and a trial placed upon them. Wa fitna tu ummati al-mal. The fitna and the trial for this ummah is wealth. Whether it comes halal way, haram way, who's bothered today? 90%, 80% not bothered. So that is the problem. So therefore, now the West knows our weakness. Aurat and daulat. Give them women, give them money, they will sell their religion. Allah Jalla wa Ala protect us.
So Ustad, the listener says here, Ustad, from Benoni, but Mufti Sahab, why can't you put a stop to the Ummah for this Black Friday? Because even the ulama are doing it to start.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you must remember that you must ask Allah for protection from Masih al-Dajjal, and that is the big, big deceiver. Then, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil Masih al-Dajjal. Authentic hadith, open Sunan Nasai and various compilations, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. Then a hadith on the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, in Musnad Ahmad, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed him, "Ya Aba Dharr, you must know there is one fitna that is even worse than Dajjal, worse than the Antichrist. Nabi Isa alayhi salam will send him, kill him there between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem in a place called Lud. Lod they call in English, L-O-D. In Arabic we say Lud, Lam and Dal. So worse than that, what is that? So Al-A'imma Al-Mudillin, that is the Maulanas, the Muftis, the Imams, the Sheikhs, they themselves corrupt and they will lead others also to the wrong path. Inna akhwafa ma akhafu ala ummati ala immatal mudillin. Go up. Authentic hadith this is. So may Allah protect us from those maulvis, those sheikhs, those people who are selling the deen. Remember this. So therefore, that are the people we must stay far, far away from.
14 minutes to 12, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage, Part 1, every Tuesday is between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Ustad, let's go to another anonymous sister, Sajia, the dear Mufti Saab. I'm married for a very, very, very long time, but Mufti Saab, my husband has broken the trust. He's committing so much of major gunas, major sins, zina, etc., gambling, whatever. And Mufti Saab, people are cursing me, people are cursing my children. What do I do? I went to the gym yet, Ustad. Where do I go forward from here?
In a case like that, where you are married for 10, 20, 30, 35, 40 years, Allah alone knows how long, and then you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children, and then your husband is committing adultery. Obviously, we are answering the questions as the questions are posed, and he's busy with gambling, adultery, alcohol, drinking, and what have you. So obviously, you can't be staying with such a person. You are a tayyiba, you are chaste and you are pure. He is khabith, he is impure, immoral. That's the terminology used in the noble Quran, Surah 24, verse number 26. So what must you do? All the people who are cursing him, cursing his wife, cursing the children, remember the curses will fall on him. It will not fall on you. You are not the guilty party. Your children are masoom, those who are still small and young and not mature and so forth. So take that out of your mind and your heart. Inshallah, no curses will fall on you. But now, what is the way forward? I don't know. You say you went to the gym yet, but they did not seem to help you according to what you're saying. Anyway, when people are in a real fix like this, I give them two options, and you have to go for a fasakh. That's the first thing. You have to go for annulment of marriage, because this has gone on too long, according to your question. And obviously, your husband is not interested in changing every time, either gambling or either on the bottle with the alcohol or either busy with the woman, adultery and so forth. So make sure you don't sleep with him. Make sure that you separate from him. Why must all that filth go into you? Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Tomorrow you have AIDS. Tomorrow you get you are affected and afflicted with sexually transmitted diseases. See the repercussions, see the consequences, Allah forbid. So I'll give you two, and you can see what you want. That remember that you contact the Majlisul Ulama in PE, and you know the Majlis, the newspaper. So you will find the email there. Send them the email and give them all that, then they'll tell you what to do. Or otherwise, just send me a message and say for fasakh, F-A-S-K-H, so fasakh. So remember that which Maulana, so I'll give you the Maulana's number, Maulana Harun, and it's in Johannesburg. You can contact him, and in that way there, that they will take the matter forward and so forth. So obviously, we answer the questions as they are posed to us.
So Ustad, my in-laws tell me to accommodate their daughter for a holiday, but they don't allow her in their house. How's that to start?
So you must remember that. So they want that you must be the one who is the khadima, that all the mess they will make there. So their daughter, your sister-in-law will come, your husband's sister, and you must remember they will just come like mehman, like guests. They will just sit there, talk there, make mess there, all that, and they leave everything. The dishes you must clean, the washing you must do, the house you must clean, and they will just be gallivanting. So you must discuss this issue with your husband and say, that is this fair, that we must pick up all their dirt and so forth. If it happens once in 5 years, 10 years, no problem. But this is becoming in a habit. Every year, holidays come park here, free boarding and lodging, and then gallivanting and so forth. So if you say no, you must remember there's no sin upon you. Islamically, there'll be no sin upon you. In Islam, you don't have the right to cause taklif, to cause harm to people. Yes, even I will agree that if they're coming, you must remember once in 5 years, 10 years, then you should agree, obviously. But if it's becoming a pattern and habitual, they just come holidays, come park up there. And the parents, they're not interested. Say, no, no, no. Our house must be sparkling. Go make all your mess and your dirt there by your brother's house. So they're telling their daughter, go by brother's house. Don't come here. So all this is double standards and not acceptable in Islam.
10 minutes to to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I'm still reading the question to come. It says here, let's go to the anonymous. It says here, Mufti Saab asking for a friend. Her sister married a non-Muslim and changed her religion. Must she break ties with her or what? As her parents don't want to even see the sister. Ustad.
I'm not 100% clear with this question. There is a lady, she was a Muslim, and then she became a non-Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So you must remember, if she becomes a murtad, whether it's a male or...
She married a non-Muslim, Ustad.
She married a non-Muslim, and then...
And changed her religion.
She also changed her religion. Yeah, so she also became murtad. So in a case like that, remember, in a true, proper Islamic country, Muslim country, then there will be the death penalty for both of them. So you must remember that the person who was a Muslim, born a Muslim, and remember thereafter, then he became a non-Muslim. So, or she, that she was a Muslim, and then she becomes a non-Muslim, Allah forbid. In our technical jargon, we call it murtad, murtadda, apostasy. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man baddala deenahu faqtulu, people who change their religion, they must be killed. Capital punishment. So it's hadith in Bukhari Sharif, obviously authentic. So the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, they say this is the law for male and female, the death penalty. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah only on one side, he says that is the law for the male. When the male becomes an apostate, Allah forbid, aliyazu billah, Allah protect us, our iman and Islam, then you must remember the death penalty if that person does not repent and re-enter the fold of Islam. So there will be death penalty. And for the female, only Imam Abu Hanifa says there won't be death penalty, but there will be incarceration, imprisonment, put in jail, hatta tatub or tamut, till she repents or till she dies. So yeah, we can't do all these things here. Yeah? So you, the family, must excommunicate her. So you must have nothing to do with her, no salam, no kalam, nothing, because she got married to a non-Muslim, she denounced Islam and what have you, or he embraced Islam and then he went back to his old religion, she left Islam. So in all these cases, you must have nothing to do with her. Yes, she makes sincere tawbah, she comes back into the fold of Islam, then it's something different. But as the status quo is now, she left Islam, so you, the family, must have nothing to do with her, totally boycott her and excommunicate her. That's wajib and compulsory upon you.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustad, we go to Pirax. The listener says, Mufti Saab, if a person confesses that he is a Shia sympathizer, Ustad, is he out of the fold of Islam? Must he recite the Kalima again, Ustad?
If he says he agrees with the Shias in their swearing, cursing of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, then such a person is out of the fold of Islam. If he says he agrees with Khomeini, la'anahullah, and the Shias regarding their muta and prostitution, so Khomeini writes in Tawdihul Masail, which I have, they gave me, you must remember for one hour, so he's out of the fold of Islam. If he says he agrees with the Shias, you must remember in Tahriful Quran that there are 17,000 verses in the Quran and not 6,236 like we have and by heart and memorized, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, millions of Muslims throughout the world. So in all these cases, he'll be out of the fold of Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 0847863132. Move this up. When husband and wife argues, who should keep quiet first? Because women carry on and on and on. Even if they are wrong, we start anonymous.
Remember that you, the husband, should take a lesson. This is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. One day there was an argument. Who? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh, and on other side, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. Who today in the world can ever compare? There's no comparison at all. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Fatima to Sayyida to Nisai Ahlil Jannah. She is the leader of the women in Jannah, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an is the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of the Master alayhi salam, the son-in-law of Habibuna sallallahu sallam. Fatih Khaybar, the one who conquered the fort, the Qamus, remember, in Khaybar. So many manaqib and virtues and merits of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, wa manaqibuhu la tu'addu wa la tuhsa. We can't even count it. You must remember so many virtues he has and merits he has. So he, Sayyidina Ali, left the house, went to the masjid, and he lay down there, he fell asleep. In that, Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Oh, my beloved Ladli, oh, my beloved Fatima radiallahu anha. So where is Ali? See how intelligent she was, she is, she always will be. She said, Baini wa baina ushay. We had slight argument. She didn't say, this happened, that happened, this happened. Okay, you had argument, but where is he? Then in a masjid. So Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is resting fast asleep. This is the master. He was, he is, he will always be the only Rahmatulil Alameen, the mercy to the entire universe and creation. And he, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now goes as a father-in-law also to his son-in-law. And he sees he's fast asleep. Habibuna, open Muslim Sharif. Yamsahu turab anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his Mubarak blessed hand removes the dust from the clothing and the body of Sayyidina Ali. The father-in-law, and not father-in-law like my father-in-law, your father-in-law, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, removing the dust from Sayyidina Ali. And then says, Qum ya Aba Turab, Qum ya Aba Turab, stand up, O father of the sin. So what happens? Where there was potentially an explosive situation, Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calmed everything down. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu goes back. Everything is fine between Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu. So you husband, if you got common sense, you know things are going, wife is going on, you just walk out, finish. So just the other day I was giving advice to one youngster, he's going to get married very soon. So I told him, see, that women, sometimes they talk, they will turn you right around, make you mixed up also. So you must just walk out, go to the masjid, go for a walk and come back, buy some juice, buy some gift and give her, darling, take this or something. So that is Islam. Not you carry on, common sense is no more common. You did this, may, too. So that is a disaster then, remember that. So Allah made you the Amir. So the Amir should use common sense, walk out and defuse the situation and not add fuel to the fire.
I see Mrs. Adrian's daughter, she says that she's always praying for you, Ustad. And she says that, I know that Prophet Muhammad is the greatest man on earth. She wants to know, Ustad, that did ever Prophet Muhammad get ever divorce in his entire life? Mrs. Adrian's daughter, sorry for posing the question, Ustad.
Very good question, Mrs. Adrian's daughter. And I think that you are going to get married soon. So therefore, you must listen to all these programs and advices. Yes, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day was intending, but Allah Ta'ala sent wahi that don't divorce, because remember, innaha qawwama wa sawwama, that he, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, honorable wife, she's so pious and so forth, she will be with you in Jannah. So we say no, he did not divorce her. So in a case like that, remember that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every action was guided by Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So they were 11 wives, but all that we have reasons for and so forth and so on. And yes, you made the right statement, but you have to add one word. You said that he was the greatest man on earth for all. You must say not greatest man. He was the greatest of Allah's creation, male, female, adult children in the entire universe and creation. He was the best and the greatest for all times, all places. وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We elevated you, Ya Nabi Allah, your Mubarak blessed name. So you can see how the teachings are. No philosopher, no professor, no scientist, no one can give you better advice than Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the messenger of Islam, peace be upon him. Last question.
Ustaz Tamuri says here, I want to know if we live separately from my in-laws. Does my mother-in-law have a say in how I run my household? Does she have a right to search through my cupboards and throw away my personal items to start?
Remember, in this day and this age, I am a strong proponent of this, because people's hearts are so small and people's love for money is so great, that from the start I will say it's best that you live separate. And remember, you daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, stay far, far apart. There'll be more love, more muhabbat, more respect. The mother-in-law got absolutely no right to come there to the house and say that I want to fiddle with your clothing, your underwear. And woman, they phone me, they say my mother-in-law goes through her underwear. Astaghfirullah. So remember, all the shaitanic things that is, she got no say. Remember that she can't poke your, her nose in your house. Remember, that's not permissible. And you must cement your marriage with your husband. You and your husband must come on the same wavelength. The bodies don't meet, only the hearts have to meet. When you and your husband, the hearts are meeting, then there's unity of thought. Then both of you will go in the same direction.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.